First thing I'd like to say is that one of the brothers down there in Mexico said, tell y'all hello. I doubt he knows any of y'all, but you know he's part of the family now. Amen. And that really impressed me when he told me to tell y'all hello, because I was thinking, this guy doesn't know who you are, never met you. But yet, when he told me to tell y'all hello, it was kind of like, tell my friends hello over there. They're my friends. I know them, you know, even though he doesn't know you. It's kind of like, you know, I got family over there. I haven't seen them in who knows how many years, but tell them hello for me. And that was a real blessing to me. And to think, you know, y'all had a part in him being able to even say that. Because he didn't know the Lord before we got over there and started preaching. If you look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, this chapter itself is talking, Christ is talking to his disciples about the signs of the times, explaining to them what signs will be happening, what things will be going on when right before he comes back. And he finishes up this chapter telling them in verse 33, it's Mark chapter 13, verse 33, take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority unto his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I read this just yesterday, and it spoke to me very clearly. What I say unto you, what he told them back then, he said unto all, watch. I stepped out the doors the other night, and I took a look around, and I saw a whole bunch of teenagers and single people out there. And I was thinking, wow, that is much more than I expected to see. I was amazed how many teenagers are in this church here. And a while back, I was talking with a brother, and he was explaining to me that a lot of times with kids, they get saved at a young age, and they grow up in a church all their life. You don't see a real drastic change in their life when they get saved. You know, they were going to church before they got saved, and they're still going to church now. You know, they didn't do a lot of things before they got saved, and they still don't do a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing. And he said, you know, like in your case, you got saved much older, and there was a drastic change in your life. But you don't always see that in children when they get saved at a young age, and all their life they're going to church. And I got to thinking about it, and I remember back different people that I knew before when I was young, kids that had grown up in church, others that had grown up in church and lived lives that were as bad as mine was, and I figured they probably never really got saved. But the truth is, what he says here, he says unto all, and that includes kids, little kids, teenagers, adults, even the elderly. Watch. Watch. And if you look at verse 34, he explains to us what this is like. And if you remember back, you can remember what it was like. He says here, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. I don't know if you were ever left at home by yourself, but I had been before. But as a child, being left at home by myself, you'd do what you could do until you knew that they were getting ready to come home. Right? He says here, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. You know, there was one thing I never wanted as a child, was to be told to do something, and it better be done when I get back. And then get caught doing something else and not having even started what I was supposed to do. I mean, I don't know, maybe your parents weren't that rough with you or that strict with you that it actually put any fear in you. But maybe now as you're older, you can think of, you know, how would you like to get caught on the job sleeping? You know, the boss, the head guy, he walks in and you're laid out on the desk sleeping. Or you're in a broom closet sleeping, you know. Is that the way you want to get caught? I don't think so. What about with the Lord of glory? How would you like to be caught when he comes back? You know, it's the same. He gives that example, you know. This guy, he takes off on a far journey. He says, I want this done, and I want this done, and I want this taken care of. And you got the authority to do it. And when he gets back, what do you want him to find? He said this to all. All. It doesn't matter if you believed in Jesus just yesterday and now you're saved. It doesn't matter if you've been saved all your life and now you're old and tired. It didn't make much difference. He said it to all. And you know, when I was thinking about all the teenagers, I used to be a teenager. I got saved as a teenager. And I remember way back then, the preachers would preach that the youth are the future of the church. I'm no longer the youth, but I see the youth. And I think, you guys are the future of the church. You know, how can I put it? I mean, it's been like 20 years since, or it's going to be 20 years next month that I've been saved. And I remember back when I got saved, I hear people say that, and I was thinking, man, that's a long time. And now I look back and, man, that was nothing. You're young right now, but 20 years will go by, and you won't be 14, you'll be 34. And what will you have done for Christ? What will you have done for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the church itself, even here where you live? What will you have done? Or will you look back and say, yeah, it used to be a good church there, but we had other things to do, so it's no longer there. Because the truth is, in another 20 years, well, I'm going to be pretty old. And I'm not going to be able to do the things I do today. You know, right now I'm still pretty strong, pretty young. I still do a lot of things. I was called on a minute ago to go carry in some boxes. Why? Because I still got a little bit of strength left. But what? In another 20 years, I won't have that much strength left. They won't be calling me to carry in the boxes. They'll be looking for somebody younger. It's not that simple. And then you throw on another 20 years, and if I'm still around, the truth is, it'll be you who is the one growing old. And you think about it, no, man, that's just so far away. The truth is, it's around the corner and you don't even realize it. What he said here, he said to all, watch. Why? Because before you know it, you won't be a teenager no more. And you will be the church if you are saved. Now, if you're not saved, well, you've been around long enough to know you need to get saved. You need to quit clowning around because the time's coming when you won't have a choice. You'll either be before God, being judged for your sin on your way to hell, or before Him being judged to see what He's going to give you. You need to be saved. If you are saved, you are the church. And you are the future of what this church will be. 10 years, 20 years, what will the church be? If all the Christians walk as you walk today, what will be the future of this church in 20 years? What will be here? Will there be more people or will they be less? Will they have a desire to live for God or will they have a desire to live for themselves? What will be the church when you are the one that's coming out 40 years old, when you're the one passing middle age? I've always heard the accusation that the youth don't look into the future and consider their ways while they're still young and do what they need to do. But it's just as the scriptures say, what you sow, you reap. And as you're young, you can prepare for that future. How? Very simple. Start by reading the Bible. Start by knowing what the Word says. Amen. Quit going on, well, the pastor said, or my daddy and mama told me. But go by, well, right here in the Bible it says it. Amen. Yeah, the pastor said it, but this is why he said it. It's right here. Start with reading the Bible. Know what the Word says. That way, when somebody actually asks you, how can you say you're saved? You can actually show them why.
That's right.
And you won't just be on, well, the preacher said it, and the missionaries say it, and my uncle, he says it too, and no. Because all you're doing is falling into the same rut all the other religions are. They say, well, that's the way we've been taught all of our lives, and that's the way we're still going to go. Are you a child of God? Then find out what God wants for you. Find out what God has to say to you. Read the scriptures. Know what they say. Don't be ignorant of the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I already made it clear, I'm about to be 20 years that the Lord saved me, and it's very obvious that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're talking 20 years later. And I remember being saved for fear of the Lord coming and me being left behind, for fear of me going to hell. And I remember the second coming of Christ was very imminent in my mind, knowing the time. I never thought I'd be around this long. I thought the Lord would have come a long time ago. But you know what? We're even closer now. I can't guarantee He's coming next year. Can't guarantee He's not either. But do you know what time it is? Do you know exactly how much time you have left? Do you know exactly how much time you got to play around before the owner of the house comes home? The master of the house, before he comes back and catches you doing whatever you're doing? You don't know. None of us know exactly what hour he'll come. But the truth is, knowing the time, it's getting closer day by day. And if you don't do what's right now, it's not going to be easier tomorrow. A very simple example, I used to tell my girls when they'd start the new year of school, start by giving all the kids tracts. If you're too scared to talk to them, give them a tract. Give them a tract, and then later you can ask them about it. It'll open the door to talk to them. Why? So that from the very beginning, you'll have made it clear that you're a Christian, and they can have an idea of where you're coming from, and then you won't have started off wrong, and they won't even know who you are, and they won't know you're a Christian, and then all of a sudden you pop up with, I'm a Christian. And they're like, you're a what? I mean, you're over here with us doing this, and you're a what? I was always afraid of that. And it was much easier to start off right. If I put it off, it would always be harder. I'd get to shaking before I'd give them a track after that. Knowing the time. And he says here, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Maybe you haven't lived right. Maybe you've been just letting things go, not even worried about living for God. It's time to start worrying about living for God. It's time to start worrying about the Master coming home and catching you playing around instead of doing the job He put you to do. He gave every man his work. That includes you. There's nobody left out on this. And what does He say here? Verse 13, let us walk honestly. It's time to start being honest. It ain't easy. Believe me, every time I cross the border, going into Mexico, I'm tempted to lie and be dishonest. And the more I read stuff like this, the more it pricks me to the heart. My own dishonesty, my own self, the things I've done in the past just to save a dollar didn't make me any richer either. The dishonesty in not paying taxes crossing the border, something so simple that I used to just, it's nothing, now it pricks me in the heart, being dishonest. And what did I save? $20 maybe? And that $20 made me a whole bunch richer? No, didn't make any difference at all. I don't even know it anymore. Honesty. The Lord started showing me time and time again. You've heard the verse, the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. I start seeing every time I do something that's dishonest, it's to try and save a dollar or make a dollar. Well, when I came down to the end, I wasn't any richer. I didn't gain anything from it except for a guilty conscience and lose out on some blessings from God. Honesty. Each and every one of us need it. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we need to be honest. And that's why he says, let us walk honestly, as in the day. And he goes on there in verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't start providing for your flesh that it can be satisfied with its lust. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Be not deceived. Who are your friends? Who are your friends at school? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. Why? Because you'll actually deceive yourself into thinking that, no, it doesn't affect me. But yes, it does. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Whether you like it or not, it's true. You hang around people that are dishonest, and the next thing you know, you're doing the exact same things they're doing. You're being just as dishonest as them, and it doesn't even prick your conscience. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You want to live for God, you have to actually break off some friendships that aren't helping you. You got to take a stand. He says, awake. Awake to righteousness. When was the last time you actually considered? Actually consider, what is exact the fruit of what I'm doing right now? What is the outcome? What is it going to be in 20 years? What am I going to say about what I did today in 20 years? Am I going to say, hey man, that was a good decision? Or what am I doing here in this place right now in misery? I used to live a life of dishonesty. And if I would have continued, I would have ended up in jail. It's that simple. And what would be the profit of sitting in jail over dishonesty? You know, I still remember the thrill of some of the things I used to do. They were wrong, but it was thrilling. But you know, the thrill didn't compare to the thrill I get now from doing what's right. You know, being I was juvenile, I never went to jail before I got saved. I did get hauled off to juvenile hall once. And boy, man, that was a thrill for sure, man. But at the whole time, I was scared like you wouldn't believe it. But you know, as a Christian, I've been hauled off to jail for preaching the gospel. And you know, it's a thrill. But yet there's not that same fear. It's much better. And you know, people say, yeah, man, this is a life, let's go. But the truth is, that's destroying your life. And this is a life. Man, Christ is life. You follow after Him, man, you'll get a thrill you won't know what to do with. The real life is in Christ. is in giving your life to Him and letting Him lead you where He wants you to go and doing what He wants you to do. And when you actually get caught for it and thrown in jail or something like that, you know, I actually heard that, I don't know how true it is, but to me, man, that would have been a thrill of my life if they would have done it when I was in high school. They said that you can't carry your Bible to school no more. And man, if they would have done that with me, I would have been, oh, my chance for rebellion, because I was very rebellious, and be right in doing it. And I would have had a blast in taking my Bible to school and just giving the people fits. But what? Where's the thrill in living for this life? Come down to the end, and what do you got? Nothing. Your friends? Man, you got to watch out. They don't stab you in the back. Believe me, man, I had friends that I called friends, and I had friends that I didn't want to talk about. Man, I didn't want to hang around them, but I had to call them friends. But now I got friends that, man, the guy's in another country, and he thinks of me. I got friends that, man, it doesn't matter what city I'm in. If I could call them up, they'll help me out. You talk of friends. Man, you get your friends, and they're closer than a brother. But what? You got to awake to righteousness. You got to wake up. And if you've been living this life thinking, well, you know, this is just the way life is. You know, you go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night and, you know, read your Bible every so often. And you have family devotions. And if that's all it is, it's time for you to wake up. It's time to wake up and see the reality of living for Christ and turn your heart to Him and seek Him and seek His will and do what He says and not just because mom and daddy said. It's got to become a reality in your heart where you see, yes, Christ is life. I want Him in my life. And I want to live for Him so that 20 years from now, I can say, I don't regret what I've done the last 20 years. I don't regret the things that I've done. I'm glad that I did them, and I'm thankful for the God that's taken care of me all the way through. What are you going to do with your youthfulness? With your youth? You going to live for God and be the church of tomorrow? Or are you going to just continue with, I don't even know the word, pathetic, apathetic, I don't know, just indifferent? Whatever, man. If my tradition falls apart, well, you know, whatever. Is that your attitude? You know, as long as the church is there, I'll go. But just because I've always done it, search the Scriptures. Make sure you got the truth, first of all. Amen. Make sure you ain't been just following along another tradition that ain't worth nothing. Make sure you haven't been deceived. Make sure you know why you believe what you believe. Make sure what the Scriptures say, you're in agreement with it. And follow after Christ. Awake to righteousness. It's too late to say, well, maybe later, man. I mean, you know, I'm not as old as you yet. Well, hey, how long are you going to wait? Some of you, man, you're past 14. I was 14 when the Lord saved me. It changed my life. Before, I was only worried about satisfying my own desires, my own ideas, my own self. I wouldn't even worry about my own parents. All I was worried about was myself. What are you worried about today? Are you worried about serving God and glorifying Him? Are you worried about living and glorifying the One who's given you life? The One who's been so merciful to you even today? You know, I can't speak for any of you because I don't know you. I don't know your hearts, but if you're saved, it doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, it's time to wake up.
Amen.
It's time to awake to righteousness. Be the example as a father, as a mother, to your own children. I don't know how to explain this very well, but this church has no excuse for not supporting everybody that preaches in this church. What I mean by supporting them isn't necessarily money. It's going with them. Going with them and encouraging them to continue preaching. To continue giving the gospel. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it every single time they go. I know it's not always possible. But you ought to make the effort to, maybe once a month or even more often, go with these guys that are out preaching. If they're preaching in the streets, go join them one time, preach in the street. Make it a point to go at least once a month. Take your whole family if you have to. Go by yourself if you can't. But join them. Go with them and encourage them. Help them pass out the tracts. Help them talk with the people afterwards. Become a part of evangelizing.
That's right.
Don't just make it a part of, well, brother so-and-so, he's got the gift. Let him go. Well, the truth is your kids will do exactly like you do. They'll say, well, brother so-and-so, Brian or Steve or Lyndall or one of the missionaries, they got the gift. I don't, so let them go. And instead of your kids growing up seeing the need to go out and evangelize and to win this world, they'll do exactly like you and just stay home and watch the others do it. When it becomes part of your life, it'll start becoming part of their life.
Right.
You need to be the example. And you kids, you have no excuse. Even if your parents aren't the example they should be, you're responsible for yourself to read your Bible and find out what God demands of you and not say, well, I'm just doing what my parents did. No, it's your responsibility to find out for yourself and not push it off on your parents or anybody else. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Amen.